It's going to be a great month. Every month is a great month, but Christmas is an opportunity to be able to come out and get excited. You're allowed to be an extrovert for this month. When Pastor Guru was speaking, there was no sound in the room. I thought nobody was in the church. You know, when I sit here in front, I can't look back, so I don't know how many people are coming to church or who's coming, and I call people up. I missed you Sunday. I was there. So we need to sit down there and have a view of the people coming in, but a great portion. Come out in faith this week. Have fun. Knock on doors. Get excited in the area. Let people know we are here. We are a church that makes a lot of noise. Yes or no?
Yes.
Talk to your neighbor. Say, we make a lot of noise. You want to be used by God? Come on, come out on this outreach. You'll be used. You'll be stoned, persecuted. So, hey, Saravanan's father and mother-in-law, who was suffering from cancer, she is seemingly making some recovery by faith. I don't know, but doctors were quite surprised. So keep praying for her. Sarah's mom, she has gone back to Mizoram. So we want to pray for her continued healing. And, you know, trusting God by faith. My main message is for Sunday, so if I preach it tonight, then I'll have to ask God for something more. But just to look at a correlation of thought and close, it is very important for the believer to get in the way of God's blessing. Okay? There is a initiation on God's part in some way in our lives. And the believer in Jesus Christ must learn how to be sensitive to respond to those initiations. He must make a decision to act upon the light that God brings in his life. What is it? A believer must learn to discern the initiations that God is making towards him in such a manner so as to respond to those initiations that God is making in his life. Since we are on the subject of to know the love of God that passes understanding, when a person, and Pastor Guru was speaking about not fiancé but husband, when does a woman know that a man is taking special interest in her? Well, when she reads in the papers, there is a group called the special interest group. No, in a relationship, one person discerns that there is something more than just an initiation happening. A person is interested in the relationship, correct? Yes or no? Be transparent, frank with me. Sleepless nights. Is it the will? Is it not the will? WhatsApp. There was an expression, WhatsApp. Now it's WhatsApp. When we are growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, we are conscious of those missed opportunities of responding in faith to the initiations of grace. That is why Jesus Christ always marveled at the faith of those that responded to him, because he was making initiations to them, not so much verbally, but by his personal presence. The personal presence of God in our lives, experienced by us through faith, is an expression of his initiation waiting to be responded to by us. Do you know that? When he came into his hometown in Nazareth, he was not able to do anything because of their unbelief. So unbelief binds the omnipotent power of God to be able to initiate on behalf of those whom God loves. So how much of premium that does God put on our volition? I want you to look at two passages in the light of what I'm saying and close. In the book of Romans, in the fifth chapter, in the 20th verse, there's an interesting passage of scripture. It says, The law came in that sin might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did what? Much more abound. The theme in the church along these lines will be to be in the place where God will abound much more in our lives. This is not a prosperity message, but I'm saying that it is possible for the believer to get in the way of God. What happens when you cut somebody driving? God is driving, you cut in. What does the guy say to you? Be well with you. We'll be praying for you. Now, expression, things come out of my mind, of my ears, of my mouth. This, you know, God is not so, God loves it when people get in his way. Not in his way to resist him, but in his way in such a way that they respond to his initiations. He is quick to discern the person whose heart is after them. It's a very sensitive issue, and we won't talk about this in progressively for a long time. So let's we have a couple of minutes left. Let's look at this. Romans 5:20. Santosh is there with the, you know, he's waiting. He said, Pastor, you said 15 minutes. So in a moment, 15 minutes over, I'm going to like put the whole thing off. So we'll be plunged in darkness. He's sitting right there at the back today. So the law came in that, what is it? Now I want you to notice two words mentioned in that one verse. One is the word paraptoma, the other one is harmatia. Now the word sin is not mentioned in that verse both ways. The law came in that transgression may abound. Now the law is holy. Paul said the law is spiritual, it is holy in Romans chapter 7. But the word here for came in is the word par eis erkomai. Par alongside, eis into, which involves also purpose, and erkomai, to come. It means to come in alongside, but it also means to come into a state of things already existing. To come into a state of things already existing. So the law came in. Now, law was not given until Exodus 19. But was there sin in the world as before that? Was transgression? Now, transgression is when you go beyond a certain boundary. Now, you find in these properties and plots here, transgressors will be prosecuted. You know these things that happen. You know, you go there, there's mango trees in gated communities out here, and you see like transgressors will be prosecuted, and you say, yeah, then inside there are five Dobermans. You go there and you're completely mauled, and you're looking like, how come they didn't write beware of dogs? No, it's written, but some trees covered it. You know, the plan of the enemy is to get us to focus on the signboard, transgressors will be prosecuted, but he stays disguised in relationship to the kind of devouring that will eventually take place because of it. He wants the warning, transgressors will be prosecuted, to be just a warning sign with no consequences, with no effects. But God is not like that. God wants us to know that it is not just the penal aspect of transgression, but there are consequences for it. But look at this verse. The law came in that transgressions might abound, meaning the giving of the law was never to restrict the nature of man's condition in terms of his sinful state, but to basically reveal much more the depths of his own depravity in the core of his being. But it says this beautiful expression after that, but where, what? Now it goes on to not paraptoma, not transgression, which is a hand fist against God, but where sin abounded. I like that. It says grace did what? What? Much more. Meaning it brought a person from a place of transgression, which was a high hand against God, to a place where he recognized that he's missed the mark with God. What is it? It brought a person from a place where he was high-handed with God, against God, to a place where he recognized he's fallen short of that mark. And it says, where sin abounded, what is the next expression? Grace abounded. You see, the coming in of transgression, the coming in of the law alongside to a state of things already existing did not change the person, but caused him to dwell on the fact that his condition is getting worse. But something came in. As the law came in alongside and the nature of the transgressions increased, there was something that happened as sin increased. What happened? Where sin abounded? That means that which came alongside that could not alter the state of existing things had to have its finality someplace in order for it not to have its control, its power over that life. Are you with me? And that happened at Calvary. Even though the law was given for that purpose to reveal to a person the nature of his sin as transgressions in Galatians 3:19, at Calvary, Christ took the curse of that law upon himself in Galatians 3:11, 12, and 13. And he took upon that curse upon himself and he became a curse for us. 1 Peter 2:24, 1 Peter 3:18. I want to close with this expression, which is very interesting. As an analogy, I thought it would help. Because remember, this is just devotional aspect of it. We can expound it at some time later. In Luke chapter 24, I'd like to look at it. God does not want me to be always in the place of being skeptical and having an investigative mindset. So examining the nature of a person's problem, etc. He's not interested. Look at this in verse 15. There are two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're going down. The third day is come to pass. They were part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's over. He's dead. He's buried. They have no idea that he is raised, but he is raised. And so they're walking on their way, a 7-mile possible journey. And it says there, as they were talking and discussing. This is they're going through back and forth with all pros and cons about what could have possibly happened and what could not have happened and why it did happen and should not have happened. You know, they go through all this. Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. I'd like to use this analogy in 24:15 in a spiritual sense with Romans 5:20. The law came in. Para eis erkomai, alongside with the purpose to a state of things already existing, but it never really altered the state of those people as the law came in. Have you ever depended on something or somebody thinking that this person will bring in the deliverance and realize that you're just like everybody else? Huh? You go from one situation to another situation, one relationship to another relationship, one job to another job, one problem to another thing. This horse will really win. He's running in the other direction. In our lives, we have the tendency to think that maybe the next. And I'm not saying that, we are looking for these things. We're looking at the hands, the horoscope, the stars. And no. Christ is saying, if you will let me come in, then you don't have to live in the mentality of things always existing as the way they are. If you get in my way, my initiations towards you, if you begin to discern it in the slightest of measure and you respond to it in the simplicity of faith, your life can be completely changed. God is not interested in changing my condition. Around me. He's interested in changing me. If I understand that in my thick skull, all of us, including myself, we will start beginning to see God's initiations from a completely different viewpoint. That's why to the church of Ephesus, Paul is praying, the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. Why don't you see God initiating in such a manner? And if you see that and you get in the way and you simply respond in childlike faith, you submit to His initiations, a world will open up to you in a mystery that you and I can never be able to comprehend. The other person, that's all. You know, I've tried it. I've been a Christian for that long. Nothing has really happened to me. So what happens is, because nothing happens to them, because they do not respond to those initiations, their testimony now is to others is exactly what they have gone through. Nothing is going to happen. Don't expect anything from God. But you see, 24:16, 24:31, and 24:33 and 34. Things change. Huh? Because the law was not able to produce that change in the lives of people. It didn't. Speak, God, from the mount in 19:8. Speak from the mount. Whatever you say, we will do. This is unique. Fire and brimstone on the mount. Excitement. You know what? Sorry, didn't do anything. It came into a state of things already existing, but it never really changed anything. But it gave them a futuristic hope in that sense if they understood the true purpose of which the law was given. Jesus comes into the lives of these two skeptics or agnostics or whatever you want to call them. And Jesus coming into their lives into a state of already existing things, which is their unbelief, never caused them to live in unbelief after that. Simple. We don't even know what awaits us in one sense when we allow ourselves to be in God's way. Do you know that? I was talking to a couple of new people, you know, we take them out for tea after Bible school. They meet me down at this Uttam Sagar. That was a restaurant is an answer to prayer. You know, all the restaurants are coming this side in answer to prayer for rap. And I was talking to them. I said, you don't even know years from now. I'm not saying, you know, we always look at hope, nothing happens. You don't even know from now. We don't even know who we are investing in right now, what can happen to them. From the day, I mean, I came to bank. I didn't know any, I came by myself. I had no idea what was going to happen. Went to Ramaya, met these guys. I had no idea. These guys at that time would think like, you're going to be, God would raise them up. And I was just like, they're thinking about like, you know, am I going to make it in this life? Yeah, we are at that stage in our life. Sometimes we can think the worst things about what will happen to us. We think, oh my God, what will happen if I lose this one? And we think, we somehow tend to think of the worst things that can ever befall us, and they never happen to us. How about being open and sensitive to being in such, in God's way, wherein which we start learning to discern His initiations towards us. So when Jesus came in, finally, the two of them asking, as in Hindi they would ask, "Kon hai tu? Who are you?" As it is, we are having enough of problems discussing amongst ourselves. Third party, we don't want you. Please go. No. He came in and he became a part of that conversation. The word says in the Greek, they were investigating things, and he just came in and he wanted to be a part of it. You know why? Because in as much as they lived in unbelief, he also saw the opening that was there in their hearts. And he wanted to take advantage of that opening and minister to them. He called them, "Oh, ye of little faith." He said all that he needed to say to them in love. When he left, their hearts started burning and they're talking to each other. Wasn't our hearts burning when he was talking to us? That's it. That's what the body of Christ is all about. That's what the church is all about. You know, when we come in like the law into people's lives, we do not alter the state of things that they are going through. In fact, we basically make their burden even more heavier. But when we come like Jesus Christ in the company of these individual people, we give them hope. Because we have also experienced the coming of Christ in such a way so as to open up our eyes, it says there in that verse 15:31. And then once that happens to us, we are no longer making negative confessions about all those things happened in Jerusalem. It says at that moment of time, they turned about. They said, forget about this ticket going to waste on online that I booked, because I'm not interested in going this way now. I just want to go back, and I want to make a confession of faith to those individual people out there that we have seen him risen. Is that what believers do sometimes? Yeah. Going house to house telling people, we have seen him risen. No, they say we want to see him dead. In brackets, another believer. They have no understanding. They are sitting in Moses' seat. They have no idea. They have stopped allowing the initiations to take place in such a way they can put themselves in God's way and they can be blessed by God. Think about it. It's a tragedy when you see that happening to people's lives. They think to a certain extent that they are being approved. They're not being approved at this present time. It is merely the exaggeration of one's intellect. There is no spiritual illumination coming there at all. It is the life of a person that is at the center rather than Christ being at the center of one's life. God wants us not to be, of course he gave the law had a particular purpose, but the law could not change the existing order of things and make a person righteous as a result of it being given, could only show him his depravity. But when grace came in, grace was able to alter things that the law could basically never do. When Christ came in Matthew 24, just one entrance into the life of two individual people going on that street, their lives were changed forever. Isn't that amazing? God has you and me in this coming Christmas and throughout the years that come. He has us in that place where we automatically come into the lives of people. God brings those people. We come into their lives and their lives no longer are the same. They no longer have the existing things that they're going through as their frame of reference anymore. They have an amazing hope that they're looking forward to in the kingdom of God. Amen? Let's make a decision to respond even in a small measure to the amazing initiations of God. God gives a vision in the heart. He gives us a thought. The light comes in. Act upon faith. It's not your subjective imagination. It's God. He's moving in. Act upon it by faith. And you will begin to enjoy the mysteries, the mystical rather reality of God in your life. Because that is where God wants us to do. And one person said, it is God's power to bring us in, but it is the enemy's power to keep us out. It is God's power to bring us in, but it is the enemy's power to what? It is God's power to bring Israel into the land. What was it? The enemy's power to keep them out. And they succumbed to the enemy's power to keep them out because they could not respond in the smallest of ways to God's initiations. Every time they were confronted with realities which were difficult, they forgot about the mystical, small little mystical things of which how God led them along the way. And that's what happens to us when we become familiar, when we become indifferent, when we start, when we start getting careless and casual in our lives as believers. We forget about the mystical way in which God really, he kind of led us along the way, and we forget about all those things. Now we are only preoccupied with really who we are. And then we start our investigative, we start our ministry. And now from Jerusalem, the place where God said them to tarry and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit in the book of Matthew in the 26th chapter. Wait for me at Galilee. Now they stop. Now they want to go to another place thinking maybe things will change there in the other place. And they miss out on those amazing initiations from God. So, step into God's way. He won't crush you. He will lead you in paths of righteousness, as the psalmist said, for his name's sake. Father, we thank you for the portions today. Thank you for being our amazing God and Savior. We surrender and submit these days to you during the Christmas week. Every decision of faith, we will also be going to Vizag for 4 days. Father, bless Pastor Anil in Mumbai, who's there for a few days. Vijay is also there. We pray, bless him, refresh them, Lord, build up, get a chance for them to edify the body of Christ these few days as they spend time with the body of Christ there. Father, we pray, we thank you for every visiting person, missionary that comes our way and visits us and edifies and builds us up and richly supplies us with their portions. We pray that you will continue to have your ministry in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Bless each one and everyone that has come today in church. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You are dismissed.